Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
In hearing this purport, you may wonder what relevance it has to Serbia. That we are practicing Krishna consciousness here in Serbia, but all this business about Shankaracharya and different commentaries, what's it got to do with us? We're preaching here to people, you're not this body, chant Hare Krishna. Where does the question of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from non-devotees come? Only the devotees here are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. I used to wonder the same thing, that why has Srila Prabhupada given so many different directions against sahajiyas and detailed directions against Mayavad, when these things are only in India, and after all, Prabhupada's movement is being spread all over the world. Everything is coming. All kinds of bogus ideas. Don't worry. Or do worry, they are coming. Even in England now, we have a sect of full-fledged sahajiyas, with rolling on the ground in artificial ecstasy, embracing each other as if they're experiencing some high level of ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. He preached Bhagavad Gita as it is because he was connected with the powerhouse of spiritual energy. He was able to be successful in preaching. He was connected with the powerhouse. Through the parampara system, the power comes down. Now we may wonder how it is that all these bogus ideas come up in the first place when the Vedas are presented in human society. But the fact is that the conditioned souls have a very wicked mentality. Krishna says very clearly, Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all your nonsense ideas and just surrender to me. But the conditioned souls are very expert at interpreting everything to get exactly the opposite meaning. So we'll find all kinds of commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita in which the conclusion, directly or indirectly stated, is do not under any circumstances surrender to Krishna. And people think they are great scholars of Bhagavad Gita. Very religious people. I know all the Bhagavad Gita by heart, someone may say. We meet people like this. They know the verses as a parrot can recite. This way they know. But they don't understand a single word of Bhagavad Gita because they're envious of Krishna. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that this knowledge is the most confidential. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. This is the king of knowledge and the most secret of all secrets. Sarvagu hyatamambhu yashunume paramang vacha. He says at the end of Gita that now I'm going to speak to you the most confidential of all knowledge. So we may think, how is it confidential? You can get Bhagavad Gita anywhere. In India, there are so many editions. Even in America, Prabhupada, he writes at the beginning of his Gita commentary that one lady in America asked him to recommend an edition of Gita for him to read. And even though there were more than 300 editions available in the bookstores, Prabhupada could not recommend any of them because they only had the name Bhagavad Gita on the cover. And even they had the translations of all the verses. They had the translation of all the verses. Within the book, there's the translation of all the verses. But actually not Bhagavad Gita. Just like in the shop, you may see some beautiful woman standing in the window. And you wonder, what's she doing standing there? But it's not a beautiful woman. It's a dull statue. It may look like the same thing, but you can't get the benefit that you might get from an actual woman. You might think, this woman looks very beautiful, let me embrace. But you won't get the false pleasure that you would from embracing an actual flesh and blood woman. So in the same way, it may look like Bhagavad Gita, but it's not, unless it comes in parampara. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. And here is Bhagavad Gita I can recommend. Because there are so many envious commentators. Whatever is going on in the world in the name of religion that is not bringing us to the point of Krishna consciousness is all envious of Krishna. Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva. He is a great devotee. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. But he had the unpalatable task of preaching this philosophy, which is the most envious misrepresentation of the Vedic conclusion. Just to give facility to people who want to go deeper and deeper into hell. Krishna gives them facility also. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is in everyone's heart. He gives knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So if someone is very sincerely determined to avoid Krishna under all circumstances, Krishna also gives the bad intelligence how to do so. And if you, of course, you may need some guidance upon how to become totally degraded. Everything requires guidance. So Lord Shiva, he is the head of the ghosts and hobgoblins and bhutas, pretas, all these very low, envious species of life. So to give them facility, Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya. Mayavadama sach chastram prachandam bhoda muchate. That verse is there from Padma Purana, that this Mayavad, it is Asat. Here, Satpati, Lord Krishna, is called Satpati. He is the master of the honest devotees. But those who are Asat, they also have their so-called Shastras. Mayavadama Sat Shastram Prachandam is simply covered Buddhism. Mayaiva Kalpita Devi Kalo Brahmana Rupina. Lord Shiva tells Devi, his wife Durga, that I will appear in Kali Yuga in the form of a Brahmin to teach this philosophy which is most inauspicious. So this philosophy has had and is having its influence all over the world. We are praying Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarine. Srila Prabhupada is preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya in the Western countries and delivering them from voidism and impersonalism. If we examine the history of thought in the Western world, the modern age is most influenced by different varieties of voidism and impersonalism. If we see the so-called great thinkers of the modern age who have been most influential in shaping the way we live, they're all big demons. So many names are there. Of course, Darwin was not directly preaching these things, but it comes to the same point. Freud, Camus, Sartre, Russell, there are so many names of big thinkers who, they weren't even aware of these terms, voidism, impersonalism, but this is what they were presenting. And such theories are attractive to demoniac people. That is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Mokasha moka karma no moka jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva. What is the last line? Muhinim shitaha. I lost one word. Now, those who are demoniac, they are attracted to, those who are of rascal nature, they are attracted to atheistic and demoniac views. And as a result, all their endeavors, all their ambitions, they are ultimately frustrated. And we see that practically in the modern age. Despite so much technological development, people are not happy because their consciousness is, as Srila Prabhupada said, lower than the lowest animal. Srila Prabhupada said that modern so-called civilized man is lower than the lowest animal. Because what are their activities? They'll kill their mother systematically, not once or twice, but they have a whole civilization based on mother killing. Just for example, and child killing, and all very philosophically approved of. Yeah, we have to kill the child in the womb because it's better for the child, because we don't really want the child, so he would be unhappy anyway if he came out, so better kill him before he comes out. There's plenty of intelligence in the modern world, no doubt, but misplaced intelligence. Avishuddha buddhi, very distorted, contorted intelligence, by which so-called intelligent people, they are misleading the whole human civilization. Here, there's discussion of Shukadeva Goswami. He was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, and so many sages came from all over the universe to hear. The same Bhagavatam was spoken again by Suta Goswami in the assembly of so many great sages. These were the intellectuals of those days. Their knowledge was accompanied by spotless character. But nowadays we see that the intellectuals, they're usually the most degraded people. We'll often find that people who, even in their personal dealings, they may be very polite, but often it's the intellectuals, especially in the matter of sex and intoxication, they're the most degraded, and they're leading the society. And what hope is there? Because the common people follow the leaders. Therefore, This Srimad Bhagavatam has to be preached. Krishna Svadhama Bhagate Dharma Gyana Tibisaha Kalo Nasha Dushamesha Purana Kaudinodita. Krishna left this world shortly before the beginning of Kali Yuga. In fact, Kali Yuga was just waiting for Krishna to leave so he could enter. The very moment Krishna left this world, Kali entered. So Krishna, he is Satpati. He is the master of all auspicious qualities. So knowledge, religious practice, all these things, they accompany Krishna. So when he left, these things also left with him. And the dense darkness of Kali Yuga set in. But there is light in this dark, miserable age. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like a great beacon to give light in this dark age. Beacon means just like very strong light. And we see practically wherever this cult of Srimad Bhagavatam is preached that people's lives change. We have all come due to this preaching of the Bhagavat cult. And we are going out distributing more Bhagavatams so that more and more people can come to this. But don't think that Maya will sleep. Maya, she is a great devotee of Krishna. She's also the wife of Lord Shiva. So husband and wife, they have a unpalatable task of keeping the conditioned souls conditioned. So as this cult of Srimad Bhagavatam is spread more and more, be sure that Maya will have something to say. Kasha. That is her duty, to test the devotees to see how sincere they are by putting obstacles in the path of their progress and in the path and obstacles in the progress of the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Now, it's bad enough when so many different bogus ideas are preached and so many bad things are preached against our movement. But it becomes very subtle and dangerous when, in the name of scripture, quoting Gita and Bhagavatam, some wrong idea is preached. Just like if we meet someone and they say, yes, I know all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, naturally we would be inclined to think this is very nice because we are dedicated to the culture of Bhagavad Gita. But then when someone quoting Bhagavad Gita says that actually Krishna is not the supreme and you don't have to surrender to him, then that is more distressing and more dangerous. This is Hinduism today, that there some ideas are taken from the Vedic literatures and mixed up with all bogus ideas. Just like we are ideological enemies of Buddhism. Now in Buddhism you'll find the concept of rebirth, birth and death is there, and getting free from birth and death, and for that purpose becoming detached from the material world, taking up some austerities. And Buddhism promotes vegetarianism, as opposed to. So it seems that we have many things in common. Seems like it should be quite a good thing. Not at all. Because Buddhism denies the personality of Godhead. And in the name of becoming liberated from birth and death, preaches the most horrible thing, this voidism, that you simply cease to exist. To commit suicide of the body is bad enough. But suicide of the soul can be nothing more heartless than this. So sometimes people, they misidentify Krishna consciousness with different Hindu sects or Buddhism, because in many ways they appear the same. And even our own devotees may be bewildered. If someone comes to our devotees and says, hey, why don't you join us? We'll go and drink some beer and go to the disco. Mostly they won't be interested. But if we tell them, oh, there's someone come to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, very nicely explaining everything, naturally they may be interested. And if he opens his speech by praising Srila Prabhupada, says what wonderful work he has done, we'll think, this person is very nice, very good devotee. But then, in the course of his speaking, he may introduce some subtly introduce some ideas which are quite different to those which Prabhupada taught. And if we're not philosophically very astute, or if we're not very deeply committed to Srila Prabhupada, then we may be misled. For instance, someone may be speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, and they will say that the topmost goal of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is to understand the intimate loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So that is quite true. That is nothing different to what Srila Prabhupada taught. But then, if that person proposes to teach us the intricacies of those intimate pastimes, when we have not attained the qualification to do so, and if we become attracted to artificially take those teachings, then we come to a very dangerous condition. You may say that, well, you've been following sadhana now for so many years, so now you should come to the proper stage, higher stage. You may think, yes, that sounds reasonable. But it's not the teachings of Bhagavatam, it's not the teachings of the acharyas. Nowhere in the Shastra is it said that if by chanting Hare Krishna for 10 years, you become qualified to understand the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Shastra states that when the heart is purified, then you can understand Radha and Krishna. What do our acharyas teach in this regard? Vishaya acharya kabe shuddha habe man, tabe hamahe rabo shri Vrindavan. I will be able to see Vrindavan when I give up all material desires and my heart is thus purified. But it appears very attractive if we are foolish, which mostly we are. If someone praises you, actually, you're a very sincere devotee. You're very advanced. I think you're qualified now to come to a higher stage. And you think, yes, I've been hearing all these things. I'm not this body for so many years. And actually, it's getting a little boring. I think it's time for me to go on to something more. And we hear these pastimes and, oh, very attractive. No doubt they are very attractive. There's nothing more attractive than the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. However, they're also highly confidential. We don't find in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam that Shukadeva Goswami even mentioned the name of Radharani directly. Because these pastimes are also very easy to misunderstand. And we may be hearing them and thinking very nice. But if we are not cleared from mundane lust, then the tendency is to, by hearing the pastimes in an impure state, the tendency is to become again attracted to mundane lust. So that is one danger in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a non-bona fide source. Now these non-bona fide sources, they were very anxious to prove themselves to be bona fide. And they may have a bona fide background, but it doesn't mean that you're bona fide just because you have a bona fide background. You may be a disciple of a bona fide guru, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you're a bona fide disciple and you yourself are a bona fide guru. See, even someone may be a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, there's no doubt that Prabhupada is a bona fide guru. But that doesn't mean that everything that every person who was initiated by Srila Prabhupada says is correct. If they don't exactly follow what Srila Prabhupada says, then they're already deviated. And that is practically to be expected. You follow that?
Yes.
Okay. Every great religious teacher, they attract many followers, of whom generally a few actually follow the leader. Others promote all different kinds of ideas. Just like in Christianity, there are so many sects. How many? Does anybody know? Must be about 5,000 different groups. But Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't teach 5,000 philosophies. He taught one thing, and people interpreted it in different ways, for different reasons. Usually for desires for material gain, prestige, or another thing is that people like to feel religious even when they are irreligious. That is why one very prominent strain of Christianity is that you just believe in Jesus and he will save you. You don't have to follow anything he says, you just believe in him, whatever that means. Because people like to feel they are justified. What I'm doing is okay. So they have converted, instead of Jesus converting them into Christians, real Christians, they have converted Jesus into a meat eater and a drunkard in their imagination. Well, Jesus was a meat eater and a drunkard, so I should be also. If you really want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a bona fide follower, you have to be a meat eater and a drunkard. A few years ago, I came out of our temple in London, and there was a Christian distributing pamphlets against this very evil tendency of the followers of the Hare Krishna movement to be vegetarians. So he had this pamphlet, and there was a picture of Satan with horns and teeth and looking very nasty. And he was holding a plate with all demoniac evil foods like carrots and potatoes, apples, because they want that. If you have to be religious, you have to be a meat eater. So this is number 5001. Or maybe 2 or 3, it must be increasing. So in the same way, even after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just after he came, so many misinterpretations came. Because they like to feel, we'll chant Hare Krishna. God will bless us. This is sometimes in Bengal when we preach, that what are you doing? You're chanting Hare Krishna and eating fish. Very common thing in Bengal. And they'll say, well, God is very merciful. I don't think that he'll be unkind to us just to eating a little fish. Why should God mind? So they have their philosophies, their interpretations, and they're all bogus. If they don't exactly follow the path of parampara. So we shall be very careful to stick to the parampara if we are actually sincere to understand Krishna. If not, you can be sure there will be plenty of cheaters come to cheat us. Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. No one but he dared to go outside of India to preach. What to speak of going outside of India to preach? They hardly dared to go outside their ashram to preach. Not only did they not dare, but they didn't even think about it. Everyone's going to hell in the Western world. Who cares? Let them go to hell. They're all mlechas anyway. They should go to hell. Srila Prabhupada gave his blood to preach Krishna consciousness and save people from hellish life. And at first, everyone in India was very critical of him. Why are you making these mlechas into Hindus? Why are you polluting the holy place by bringing these mlechas here? But after some time they thought, hey, this is pretty good. I wouldn't mind having a few Western followers myself. It's quite prestigious. And they have money. And you can become a famous guru. So now there are many people following Srila Prabhupada's footsteps all over the world and saying, Prabhupada is very good, but not that good. If you want the real thing, you have to come to me. And actually, they can't make any devotees. They have to hang around the edge of ISKCON to catch people. They can't organize Rathyatras, or they don't have books like this to distribute. But just they catch a few people here and there. Parasites, you could say. Be careful. They haven't come here yet. We hope they won't come. Probably they will. Be very careful to stick exactly to the parampara, exactly what Prabhupada is teaching. Shalom. If anyone says that, well, actually, we have now got the proper understanding of what Prabhupada was teaching, which you never heard yet in ISKCON, but I've come to reveal it. So my advice, if you meet such a person, kick him in the face. Or at least throw him out of the temple. Don't give room to such people. They are not... Their aim is not to help you. Their aim is to help themselves by exploiting you. And they will tell you that ISKCON is exploiting you. They make you work hard. Go out and sell books. And what do you get out of it? And you think, yeah, what do I get out of it? I've been selling books for 10 years and I still don't have a penny in my pocket. What do you get out of it? You get Prabhupada's blessings. That cannot be measured by any amount of dinars or dollars or anything. So be careful. All kinds of bogus things are coming. And generally we find that because sincerity is a rare commodity, especially in the modern age, that many people may follow these cheap imitations of Srila Prabhupada. But don't think that because they have many cheap followers that they have any substance. Substance means there must be this sincere endeavor to surrender to Krishna by following the process of sadhana bhakti, preaching Krishna consciousness, making the endeavor to save people from birth and death, and giving them knowledge of Krishna. This is substantial. And all this must be done under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, who is the actual representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Others may call themselves representatives, but they cannot do the work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can cheaply initiate many people. You'll find all these people, they come. Anyone walks in the room, immediately initiate them. Now, how many rounds to chant? Well, take some beads and you can use them sometime if you like. And regulated principles, you try and follow them. Cheap initiation to get many followers quickly. So be careful. The real thing is not cheap. Krishna consciousness means vairagya vidya. That means there is proper knowledge and renunciation. So be very careful to stick to the proper line of Krishna consciousness. Don't get misled here and there. Even if someone seems to be very scholarly and renounced and very saintly, and even if superficially they praise Srila Prabhupada, if they teach anything even slightly different from Srila Prabhupada, you should know that they are not your ever-well-wisher. They have some personal desire to fulfill at your expense, Hare Krishna. So don't take all this as being very negative. Our path forward is very positive. But at the same time, we should be careful of the dangers along the path. And this phenomena of so many people distracting people away from the path Srila Prabhupada has shown us is becoming very widespread all over the world now. But it is not an auspicious path. So is there any question?
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada said, better to be a sincere sweeper in the street than a show-bottle spiritualist. What is the meaning? The meaning is clear. Better to be sincere and not have any position or than to make a big show for cheating others. What is the difficulty to understand? It's a very clear statement. How much it refers to you? Again, I was giving that English saying, if the shoe fits, wear it. All these things can come. It's not just that people outside ISKCON. It may be even within our movement that people take advantage to mislead others. For their own sense gratification, they become a spiritual leader. Therefore, we have GBC to oversee. And even if within the GBC body, if someone becomes wrongly ambitious, then the others will have to check. It's not impossible. History repeats itself. You see, in Jesus Christ, he had thousands of followers, but he had his GBC, 12 men. And it was one of them who betrayed him. So it's 11 were okay, and one not so. But then, anyway, this movement is going on by the spiritual potency. And even there may be difficulties, and there will be difficulties within this movement. Prabhupada often said, don't expect utopia. It's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga destroys, what is that? Kalo Sattva Hare Pumsam. The very nature of Kali Yuga is to destroy the good qualities of human beings. So even within our movement, Kali can enter. If there is any desire for personal prestige, honor, monetary gain, then in the name of Krishna consciousness, someone may be misleading others. But it won't last. Prabhupada and Krishna won't allow it to last. So if we just stay in this movement and stay honest to the principles that Srila Prabhupada has given us, we will be protected by Krishna. That is a fact. We've seen that. There have been difficulties in our movement. There will be. But we, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have to cooperate and stay together to fulfill his desires. The inevitable problems that may come, we have to face them by consulting the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Everything we need to know for our spiritual progress, for the management of this movement, everything has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So if we stick to these principles given by Srila Prabhupada, we're absolutely safe. And if we deviate a little from that, we're in a very dangerous position. So it's a very simple, straightforward thing. Follow the parampara and go back to Godhead. And perform activities to help others come back to Godhead. Don't be deviated by all different wrong ideas. Any other question?
Also pretty weak.
Translate back into...
In this degraded age, what is the possibility of Krishna consciousness actually becoming widespread and the golden age coming in? Kali Yuga is so contaminated that there is no possibility of spreading religion. It's a hopeless situation. By any material assessment, it's absolutely impossible. So then how are these predictions that Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world going to come true?
Not only how they will come true, how they are coming true now. How we have a room full of people here, sitting, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. How is it possible? Not by any material means. Not because someone's a very entertaining speaker. They speak a little bit and do some tricks, take a rabbit out of a hat. And many people come to listen because it's good entertainment. No. But it's going on by the spiritual energy, by the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is being transmitted in Guru Parampara. So if we link ourselves with this spiritual energy by adhering very closely to the Parampara, then individually and collectively we become strong. Otherwise, to push back the tide of Kali Yuga is, if we think about it, it's almost impossible. It is not almost impossible. It is impossible by any material means. But by the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that which is impossible becomes possible. Mukham karoti vachalang pangam langhayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam Sri Chaitanya Maheshwaram Sri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya and Sri Guru, what is impossible becomes possible. A dumb person can speak poetry. A lame man can cross over the mountain. Toma kripai ashambhav shambhav hoy. Prabhupada, when he wrote his prayer to his spiritual master when he was landing in the port at Boston and saw this horrible so-called civilization. And he thought, well, how to preach Krishna consciousness here? Coming to the conclusion that it was impossible, he said, Toma kripai ashambhav shambhav hoy. What is impossible becomes possible by your mercy. So we should always pray for the mercy of the acharyas, that we can become an instrument in doing the impossible. And that is going on every day. Why should anyone in Serbia want to buy a book about some Indian philosophy? They don't have much money anyway. And what to speak of their daily necessities? They have extra money. They'd like to spend it on some alcoholic drink, or some entertainment, or some nice new clothes, or something, some cosmetics. So why would they spend money on a book which, what relation has it got with their life? Why should Mr., I don't know, what's the name? Some Yugoslavian name? Sasha. All right. Why should Sasha, who's walking down the street, thinking about smoking a cigarette, why should he want to buy a book about Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit? If you made a survey in Yugoslavia and asked how many people would like to spend their money on a book discussing how to give up material sense gratification, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You have to spend your money to buy a book about this. How many people will write yes, no? They'll laugh. But our devotees are going every day and selling hundreds and thousands of books. How is it possible? Not by any material means. Because the devotees are connected with the spiritual energy. Yeah. The spiritual energy is stronger than the material energy. So what happens? Devotee comes with the non-devotee. And the non-devotee, who is naturally dull anyway, becomes overwhelmed by the spiritual enthusiasm and the happiness of the devotee. And before he knows what's happening, the money which he could have spent on meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex, is going to buy Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the power of the spiritual energy, people are reading these books, which are actually very difficult to read from the material point of view, because it's dealing with philosophical concepts which people, they have no relationship with them or no idea with them. People are not accustomed to read books on philosophy, especially it's set in some completely different cultural setting with all these funny words which they can't understand. We may wonder, how can people relate with these books at all? But people are reading them, and then how can they understand them? That also by Krishna's blessings. So the whole thing is mystical. There's no material explanation for it. And the devotees who link themselves in bhakti yoga with this spiritual process of distributing Krishna consciousness
they become more and more surcharged with Krishna consciousness. Today we'll have the Sankirtan meeting and we'll find out who distributed more books, and we will cheer the devotee who has distributed more books and say Jai, and we should say Jai. But who is going on distributing more books day after day, year after year? How are they able to do that? Because they know, I'm not distributing any books. I'm simply taking them out and Krishna is doing everything. Because how can anyone sell any of these books? You get someone who's an expert salesman. But do you have this Encyclopedia Britannica here? All over the world they have these salesmen. They sell these encyclopedias. And they go house to house and they sell people this big set of books. They have to spend some $1,000 or something. So you ask them, give them one Krishna book. And tell them, okay, you're used to selling so many books for $500 or $1,000. You're an expert book salesman. Now, just see if you can sell one Krishna book for $5. You cannot do it. These books are sold by Krishna. And the best book distributors, they just think, now I'm doing my service to Krishna, let me be an instrument in his hands. Okay. And when a devotee thinks like that, so many books go out. And as soon as he starts to think, now I'm selling so many books, and all the devotees, when I go back to the temple, they're all going to say, Jai! Then he can't sell one single book. Immediately the ability to distribute the book stops. And immediately all the people he meets are all demons. And then he thinks, what's going on? Why am I not selling any books? Because I forgot that I'm not selling any books. Krishna's selling all the books. So again he becomes conscious of his position as servant. Then again he can sell books. These are secrets of book distribution. Secret of book distribution is, don't distribute any books. Don't try to distribute any book. Don't think I'm distributing books. Just become a servant of a servant of a servant. Think my spiritual master is distributing these books. Now let me become his instrument. And then you'll distribute so many books. We'll discuss more about this later. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.